Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here in the studio on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And I hope you've been listening. I've been doing the show now since 2009, and I'd like to say, if you want to hear the last few shows or any shows back to 2009, I have a website called giftofgraceministries.org. You can go back and hear any show you like, and there's also a lot of Bible teachings and so forth. And I always want to advertise my ministry called One in Messiah, which takes place in Parma on Friday evenings. We meet at 5994 Ridge Road at 6:15 p.m. That's 6:15 p.m., 5994 Ridge. And that's another ministry where we connect New Testament, Old Testament readings. So stop in and say hello. It would be awesome. So the last couple of shows, we've been talking about senses, physical senses and spiritual senses. And we went through last time some things that happened to Saul of Tarsus when he was converted on the road to Damascus. And maybe converted is not a right word, but he had this awesome experience with Jesus himself blinding him for 3 days, then having the scales come off of his eyes so that he could see again. And if you go back and listen to that show, you'll see how he talked about how he had spiritual blindness, then he had physical blindness, then he had spiritual sight, and then he had physical sight. And of course, he became the great Apostle Paul, who is my hero. So tonight, we're going to talk about, and it's probably going to be two shows, we're going to go back a little bit chronologically to John chapter 9. And this was one of the places in the scriptures where Jesus cures a blind person. And there's several accounts of this. In fact, I always think it's kind of cool where I don't have the reference in front of me now, but where John the Baptist is in prison and he's kind of wondering, my cousin Jesus, is he really the Messiah or not? I don't know. I'm kind of bummed out being in this dungeon. And he sends a couple of people to ask Jesus, are you the one, or are we supposed to be waiting for another one? And Jesus says, go back and tell John. And one of the things he says is that the blind see, and the deaf hear, and the lame walk, and so forth. He says that the blind see. And he's quoting from Isaiah 35, because he knew that John the Baptist knew Isaiah 35. And so this is one of the great messianic prophecies in the book of Isaiah, in which, and there are many messianic prophecies in the book of Isaiah. In fact, he's my favorite major prophet, as you've heard me say 100 times, but the book of Isaiah is so complete that many people refer to it as the gospel according to Isaiah, because it has everything in it. But Jesus tells John's disciple to go back and say, well, you know, the blind see. And if we carry it over from the last two programs that I did, he's not just talking about physical sight. He's also talking about spiritual sight, spiritual vision. Most people have physical sight, which is, you know, as we talked about, your senses give you information about your environment, send messages to your brain. Your brain then puts all these things together and develops memories and impressions and experiences, and so that every time you see, let's say, a cat, you know that you don't have to say, oh, no, it's a cat, and run away, because you know the cat's not going to hurt you unless you go bother it. Different than when you see a tiger. So your brain kind of knows all these things because it's processed all these things over the years or decades that you've been alive. And so in a spiritual sense, your spiritual sense of sight opens up information to you that your physical senses cannot see. And this certainly happened to Saul of Tarsus, who, of course, is St. Paul. But tonight I want to talk about a man who's described in John chapter 9. In fact, the whole chapter is about this interaction, which is kind of neat. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read bits of it and then talk about it rather than read the whole 41 or 42 verses. And then the time goes by really fast. But so John chapter 9, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" So here's this man. He's been without sight his whole life. Jesus is just coming from a place where he's been mistreated by the authorities, which was kind of the common thing. And he takes note of this blind man. And as we're going to see, obviously has compassion on him. And we're going to see as this develops, he has compassion on his physical situation and also his spiritual situation. So we need to do that. We need to keep that in mind as Christians, because when we see somebody who has some physical need, we're to respond to that. But we're also supposed to take into account, of course, their spiritual need. So this is the idea. A lot of people in ancient times had this idea, even in the Jewish culture, that this must have been from some sin that either he committed or his parents committed. This must be some kind of judgment for something that he had done wrong. And Jesus is going to address that. So this man, blind from birth, so he's never seen light. He can't see Jesus. He can't see the other guys. He can't even see the sunshine, the trees, whatever else is around. He's been, his whole life has been in darkness, which we can look at as a metaphor. He's also been living in a spiritual darkness as well as a physical darkness. And this can even be a metaphor for the gospel going out to the Gentiles, because Gentiles at this time, and a lot of Gentiles today, had been living in a spiritual darkness. They had no covenant with God. The Israelites were the only ones that had a covenant. The Jews were to be the light to the Gentiles, which sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't. But Jesus, as light of the world, would then bring light to the Gentiles as well as to the chosen people. So this man can't see Jesus. Jesus sees this man in a different way than his disciples see him. He just doesn't see him as, oh, this poor blind guy. He does see him as a blind man, and he's moved with compassion at this, like he is with all the healings that he does. But he also sees that he needs spiritual sight as well as physical sight. And in the same way, and another metaphor, I guess it is, I don't want to keep using the same word, but Jesus sees our situation. You know, people who are in spiritual darkness who don't even see Jesus. This man couldn't see Jesus physically. Could hear him, but couldn't see him. You know, Jesus still looks at people who aren't aware of him, may have heard something about him, but really aren't very interested in knowing anything about him or knowing anything that he does or knowing how their lives can be changed. But Jesus sees us, sees people like that anyway, even though they're not aware. So he stops to deal with this blind man. And, you know, his apostles, his disciples are blabbering on about, oh, what sin did he commit? Oh, what sin did he commit? And, you know, Jesus points out it's not because he committed a sin, and it's not because his parents committed a sin. It's so that God's glory can be revealed. In verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So Jesus is talking about light in reference to a guy who can't see light. We tell people Jesus is the light of the world. They're living in a spiritual darkness. And it's our mission, it's our responsibility to bring light, to bring the light of Christ into the world. So Jesus says, this man is blind just because of this moment, this interaction that you're going to see over the next few minutes, that God's glory can be revealed in him, and that the works that I've been sent to do by the Father can be seen. Because I'm the light that breaks through all this. So this man happens to be here not by coincidence. He's blind from birth and is in this place just so I can have this encounter with him. Now, it doesn't tell us yet, but this happens on a Sabbath. Okay, so keep that in mind, because on the Sabbath, of course, you're not permitted to do any work. 6 days shall you work, and the seventh day is the day of rest. And if you have the opportunity to go to Israel and to be in, especially in Jerusalem, on a Saturday, good luck trying to find some place to eat during the day, or getting a cab or a bus, or it's the Sabbath. Everything is closed down. And, you know, going back to this metaphor, in our fallen state, we're all blind. Oh, we can walk around and we see everything, and we can be in a brilliantly sunny, beautiful day and see all the beauties of nature with our physical eyes. But in our fallen state, we're spiritually blind. And Jesus is the light that breaks through this. So just like this man is going to have an encounter with Messiah, we have to have an encounter with Messiah in order to cure our spiritual blindness. And a very common beggar is used for this miracle. People saw this guy. It sounds later on like he's known by the people around him, but he's a common guy. He's obviously never been able to work or do anything. So in verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. Keep that in mind. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. Wow. So this man is cured because Jesus makes mud out of spit and anoints his eyes with it. He could have healed them in many different ways, and sometimes he heals people by touching them, by speaking a word. He could have just spoken the cure. He could have gotten some water and washed his eyes and said, okay, now you can see. He's not bound by any particular method. You know, there's various healings of blind people in the Gospels that take all different ways, that he does in different ways. He's not bound. God is never bound by a particular formula for something. You know, like a lot of people worried, well, you know, they're praying for something, but maybe they didn't use the right words, or maybe they didn't stand in the right place to say the prayer, or, you know, maybe they're doing it at the wrong time. You know, God's not bound by these things. He can work in any way. He's not fenced in by what we think he needs to do. And interestingly too, you know, we're all made out of clay. You know, our bodies are basically clay. And Jesus uses some of this clay to heal his eyes. You know, he covers his eyes with mud. So, you know, if your eyes are covered with mud, you're not going to see very well anyway, if at all. It's going to be kind of uncomfortable. But now this man is even more aware that something is wrong with his eyes than he was before, because now he has this sensation of mud on his eyes. And as I was thinking about this last night, and I was making some notes, thought, you know, people become aware of their blindness And I think the Lord sometimes makes you even more aware of your blindness just before the light breaks in. This is what the gospel does. And that's not just people who are down and out, you know. You hear great testimonies, and I love testimonies. I love testimonies because when somebody tells you their testimony, it means I was this, this happened, and now I'm like this. And no one can say, oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't say that prayer right. Oh, wait a minute. Were you standing in the right place when that happened? No, it's something came, affected your life, and then you changed. So that's why I love hearing testimonies. And this is what the gospel does. Now, he now kind of accentuates the trouble with the guy's eyes, and he tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent in Hebrew, S-E-N-T. And in the couple of verses before that, he says, I'm the one sent by the Father. Jesus is the sent one. And we know that God works in Trinity. God is Trinitarian. Although he's one, the Shema can never be violated. There is only one God. But the Son is sent. The Spirit is sent. The Father is not sent. But Jesus points out he's the one who sent from the Father. So he tells him to go wash in the pool that means sent. And this, the Pool of Siloam is interesting because it's in the old city of David, which is over the last few years been excavated in Jerusalem. And it's pretty amazing. It was David's original city, the city of the Jebusites that David took over. And we don't have time to go into that, but the water in the Pool of Siloam comes down from Mount Zion. And so it has spiritual significance. You know, you could look at it as living water. It has historical significance because it's associated with David. And Messiah, of course, is the son of David. So he washes in the Pool of Siloam and he comes back seeing, it says. Now, remember in Mark, he heals a guy, and the guy says, oh, I see men who look like trees. And then, you know, he touches them again, and then he sees clearly. And I was doing a teaching at a church yesterday about that, and I told the group that I had surgery on my right retina a few years ago that had almost completely detached. I lost most of the vision, but as the eye was healing up, there was a day where I first started to see light, and I could see everything looked like it was a bunch of sticks. So when I saw people, they looked like sticks, and all I could think about was the guy who said, I see people, but they look like trees. But anyway, so in verse 8, therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this the one who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. So everyone is now amazed. And of course, who wouldn't be amazed if you saw somebody who was completely blind? You kind of knew he was blind from birth, and all of a sudden he's walking around, obviously with sight, and you say, wow, is this really him? Is this the same guy? He says, yep, I'm the same guy. So here you have this physical sense of sight, which he's never had. He's never had. So now he has sight. He's walking around in the light. I mean, you can only imagine how happy this guy is. So probably his whole facial expression has changed. I mean, if you've been blind from birth, you know, you're probably kind of downcast all the time, and he has to beg for food, and, you know, you don't have a lot of great days. But now his whole countenance has changed. So that's why some people say, well, is that him? I don't know, it looks different. Well, sure, it looks different. So then he answers, yes, that's me. It's me. So there's no question about it. So this also happens when we come out of spiritual blindness. You know, we come out of spiritual blindness and we see the light of Jesus and our whole lives change and our expression changes, the words we use change, our overall demeanor changes. We talk to people differently than we did before. And people around us say, what happened to you? Is that really you? And even if they know it's really you, they say like, well, what happened? And interestingly, they want to know how this happened. They say, well, how did this happen to you? In fact, they said, therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? You know, you come out of spiritual blindness and you're walking around in a new light of the gospel and people say, well, how did this happen to you? Then you tell them the testimony. You know, when I was working, many times people would say, how come you're always happy? How come you're always humming and singing? How come you're always happy? And I'd say, well, do you really want to know? And they'd say, yeah. So that would give you a chance to witness, and I'm sure most of you have experienced that. So they say, well, how are your eyes open? They want to know, how did this happen? Because this is so unusual, so unheard of. So he tells them the details. He tells them the testimony. And he says, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went, washed, and I received my sight. And they said, where is he? He said, I don't know. So this is kind of interesting because when they tell him the story, they say, well, where is this guy? Well, Jesus has withdrawn from the scene for a reason, as we're going to see. But he's withdrawn from the scene. They want to know where Jesus is. Now, why do they want to know? Do they want to go see him because of this great miracle? Are they upset and they want to go seize him? We don't really know. But we know some things that are very common in the Gospels, that when somebody encounters Jesus, other people want to go see him too. Either the person says, come and see who I found, or come and see the Messiah. There's always this come and see. You know, Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter, come and see. Philip goes and gets Nathaniel, come and see. The woman at the well tells everybody in the town, come and see who I met. And so this miracle that happened, everyone is reacting to. Now, it doesn't tell us all of the different emotions that are involved. Some people were probably happy. Some people were probably saying, oh, come on, what really happened? Some people were probably upset. We don't know. But what happens is they go and take him to the Pharisees. Now, why in the world would they do that? Well, you know, the Pharisees were the leaders. They were the religious leaders. They were also civil leaders, but they were the ones who, quote, guarded the truth. They were the ones that knew the law. All they did was study scripture. They considered themselves holy. You know, their name, the word Pharisee comes from perushim. That means the set apart ones. They set themselves apart and said, we follow the law. Those people over there, they don't follow the law, but we follow the law. And so we know everything about this law. So the people took this man who now can see to the Pharisees. And they tell them what happened. And then it adds, this was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Now, if you are a strictly observant Jew, you cannot, you won't even turn the light switch on the Sabbath because that's work. And that you either have a timer on your lights in modern times or you have somebody come and turn your lights on because you want to follow the letter of the law. And, you know, Jesus has to confront this many times during his ministry where he says the Sabbath was not made for man. Well, the man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. So, oh, man, some music is playing already. Wow, we're going to have to continue this. I'm going to have to continue this next week because there's so much more that's coming. But I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and I hope you'll join us next week when I'll continue to preach God's Word and the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.
With her.